Welcome to Unsquish the Fish, the podcast where bloggers, writers, and Fins fans come to talk everything Miami Dolphins and bask in the glow of aqua and orange. And now, for the host of Unsquish the Fish, Ron Caniff. Fins up. Fins up. Fins up.
All right, what's up, Dolphins fans? Got another episode, episode 15 of Unsquish the Fish. And today we're going to give an attempt to write an early 53-man roster. Not really something that's my specialty, player evaluation, honestly. I like to talk about, I don't know, the topics and what's fueling the fans, what's getting us excited. But I thought it would be fun to do, and if I have to talk any more about the offensive line, not that we won't a little today, but if I have to sit there and spend another show talking about the O-line, I'm going to throw up. With me today is Sean. What's going on, man?
What's up?
How's your week, last couple of weeks? How you been?
Busy, but trying to get my mind focused on football. It's about that time.
Yeah, thank goodness. No, almost. Yeah.
What are we? Can't get here fast enough. I'm starting to froth at the mouth.
What are we about? 11 days from training camp, something like that? Not even that? 10 days?
Yeah, and about, I'd say about 3.5 weeks from preseason.
Yeah, sweet. That's what I'm talking about. All right, man. So tell me a little bit about what you did to prepare for this show, because it sure sounds like it was a lot more than I did, to tell you the truth.
No, man. Well, hey, you know, you said you want to do a roster show, and this is kind of one of the things that I like to do. I like to delve into the you know, ins and outs of the team. And so about the last two or three nights, I've stayed up to about 2 a.m, just kind of researching and looking at some of the moves they've made looking at some players that I have no idea who they were, and doing a little research on those guys as well. And I think I came up with a pretty solid, I'd almost be willing to put a little wager on my 53.
Oh, wow. Like what percentage of closeness, like mine versus yours or yours versus someone else's?
Well, I mean, you know, that's a given bet. I'm thinking we should just easily put that one out there.
I know you like to bet. Yeah, we'll wager it against that little Johnny Manziel bet, and we can just call it even. How's that sound?
Yeah, I don't even want to touch that. Especially since I just read an article where they're thinking about cutting him.
Really, all the hard work he's put in this off season in rehab. And they're gonna cut him. I couldn't say it straight. I tried not to laugh. Oh,
yeah,
my Lord.
You know, hey man, I still think he's got a chance. It's just gonna be a matter of whether or not he gets his head straight.
You have to excuse me, dude. I had like the weirdest sleep schedule lately. And yesterday I worked like 15 hours, and then I stayed up late prepping for the show because I didn't want to be doing this 2 minutes before the show. And I had spent a little time a few days ago, and then just kind of let it sit and marinate for a little bit and didn't touch it. But I fell asleep a few hours ago on the couch, and I woke up and I could not figure... You ever do this before? You fall asleep just long enough? I could not figure out what day it was, what time it was. Was I supposed to be at work? Was I supposed to be going somewhere? I was like looking at the clock and I'm seeing it's 6:30, and I'm like, is that the morning, the evening? Is it Wednesday? Is it? I could not absolutely figure out what was going on, so I still feel groggy from that.
It sounds like you need more sleep, brother.
Yeah, I'd say it. I worked such a long day yesterday. Anyway, let's get into it. I'm sure people didn't come in here to hear us talk about our sleep schedules.
I think we could throw something out there, though. Maybe a little challenge to anyone who's listening, man. If they think they can pick a better roster, maybe we throw the challenge out to everybody out there.
Yeah, you know what? I like that, and this would be a great way to show us your roster. So we'll give you up until the first day of training camp. I'll get this show out tonight. I'll stay up a little later. Hey, I got some sleep. I'll stay up a little later, and I'll make sure this show is out tonight. So first thing in the morning, you can download the show. You'll have about a week or whatever to listen to the show and try and write down your 53. You could just – the best way to get it to me is write it on one sheet of paper. You can do it. And if you look at my Twitter, I actually have mine sitting on a sheet of paper. Take a pic of it and just tweet it, at UnsquishTheFish on Twitter. And just tweet it. And we'll do it like that. We'll see if a few people would like to do it. I don't know how many people actually do it, but it's fun to do. I mean, it's not as hard as you think in some ways, and in other ways it's really hard. It's weird. It's both, in my opinion.
Agree.
That's a good idea, Sean. That's a good idea. All right, let's get into this, man. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
And this is going to be interesting because I'm not sure what information you went on or how you decided how many they keep at each position. What did you research for that?
I got numbers for every spot, man. I mean, I didn't want to not give my all for your audience. So I wanted to make sure that I give them the full Monty, man. So I got position and how many per position I believe the Dolphins will keep.
So what did you base that on? How many you think they'll keep of each position is really what I'm asking.
Well, basically based off need and overall talent. I mean, you know, when you start looking at, you know, some of the positions that we have, we're strong in some positions and we're light in the others. So, you know, that really plays heavily on where I think they're at. You know, the positions that you're a little bit light on the talent, I think that might be where some people could say, well, that's where you might want to have a little bit of backup so that there's competition throughout the year. But on the other side of it, if you got talent that's great, and you're heavy, you know, I'm kind of lean towards that direction. So I'm kind of just basing it off of my history with the Dolphins, the direction that they're going, and the changes that I've seen made on how I think that they're, and on top of that, the numerous injuries that we've had over the last couple of years, you know, where if my mindset was that, if I was the coach, where I would, where I'd be leaning towards when, you know, in retrospect to the talent that we have, more or less than anything.
So you went based fully on just talent. Did you look at last year at all? Did you see what their initial 53-man cut was and see how many they kept of this, that, and the other?
No, because again, you know, obviously I'm not being judged by NFL scouts all over the place on my info, so I don't feel I had to be that crazy into it. But I do feel that the way I broke it down was based on not just talent but need. And then I factored in a lot of the injuries from last year when I put together my 53 to try to kind of gel together. Like I said, if I was the coach, how some things where I feel maybe somebody's a little injury prone or there's an injury that might still be lingering, I might want to beef up at that position to make sure that we're covered.
See, that's interesting because then this should really be interesting when we start. And we talked about just before we went on air, if we're arguing over more than five or six guys, then there's probably something wrong, which is right. I mean, you can knock off 45, 46 guys off this list that we both know are going to be on the roster. You know, I mean, we're really just kind of battling over five, six, seven guys. I looked at it more. I did look at last year to see what they kept after the cuts, but I didn't go with that 100%, say if they kept this many linebackers or this many cornerbacks. I didn't say, well, that's how many they're keeping this year. I considered heavily, heavily the special teams aspect of it when I started thinking about the bottom of the roster, and especially when I considered cornerbacks, wide receivers, and linebackers. And when I started trying to figure out who are they going to keep in those three positions, I tried to factor in special teams, and I'm not even necessarily speaking can they carry the ball. I'm not even really talking about that, and I'm talking about the coverage end. Were they active last year in special teams, or have they been in the past active in special teams? So that was actually a huge factor for me in deciding some of these bottom of the roster guys. Right. So yeah, this should be interesting. All right, man. So let's start it off with QB. Who do you have as your QBs?
Well, it's funny we start with this one because this might be the first year that I disagree with what the Dolphins are going to do, because I'm not a fan of running two quarterbacks, but I honestly believe we're going into the season with two quarterbacks. I don't think that we're going to have a third or a fourth, and quite frankly, because they're not good, I don't think they're worth being on our team. I think if anything, they're going to take up a roster spot where I would want to, you know, utilize it in another area where we might have had injury issues in the past. So I'm going with Ryan Tannehill and Matt Moore. I don't see any reason. One, I don't see any reason why Josh Freeman should be on anyone's team, and I might take a little flack for that. I'll be honest with you. I don't. I'm just dumbfounded that Josh Freeman's still in the league. So you know, he definitely is not on my list by any means.
Well, we know he got a shot. A lot of his we got a shot because Hickey, you know, I believe was part of the drafting of him in Tampa Bay, so he knows him. I actually did the same thing. I had initially written Freeman, And then after I started working the numbers, I said, man, I need to find another guy in another position. I was short at wide receiver, I think. And I said, you know, I could see them just going with two QBs and not keeping Freeman just because the numbers worked out that way. So I went ahead and the same way. I went to two QBs, Tannehill and Moore.
Don't get me wrong. I've said this before about Tannehill. I don't believe that we've brought in enough. I don't believe we've brought in enough talent to accurately challenge him. But even more so, I don't believe we've brought in enough talent to challenge our backup. And you know, I was reading an article last night. They were talking about Matt Moore is one of the highest paid backups in the league. Well. Okay, that's great and all, but what has he really done? In my opinion, I haven't seen him do anything that would warrant that. I mean, he's to me. I don't see why he's got that. Why is he consistent? I don't know. How consistent is he really? You know, I mean, is he a game manager? Okay, maybe, but you know, he was getting paid. I didn't see the exact number on it. It was like $2.6 million or $2.7 million. I mean, that's a lot of money for a backup quarterback that really hasn't done a whole lot, in my opinion. And I don't feel that any of the backups, like I said, Josh Freeman, and I believe the other gentleman, McLeod, Bethel Thompson, he was the other. I don't even know who that guy is, to be quite honest with you. So
I have no idea who he is beyond the fact that I know he's on the Dolphins, but beyond that, no clue.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, looking at it from that respect, I just don't see either of those two guys providing any competition for Matt Moore, much less Tannehill. So I don't agree with the decision to run with two. I think you should always have three quarterbacks. That's just my opinion. I've seen injuries go bad, and when a, you know, quarterback is your leader, man, you know you're trying to pull one off of the free agent wire. You don't want some guy who doesn't know your program coming in trying to learn it because the two guys got injured. I know it's a rarity to have two quarterbacks go down, but with the way our luck runs, it's not uncommon. But I just don't see any other option with the players that they put in front of us that it would be any other way.
Well, I will say that until Tannehill came along, we had gotten into our third-string quarterback. It was a bunch of years in a row. Honestly, a bunch of years in a row, we had gotten to a point where our third-string quarterback made an appearance in a game until RT17 came around. And the guy he's missed part of a game. He missed in his rookie season, somewhere in the middle of the season, he took a shot to the thigh, and he was out the rest of that game. Beyond that, he hasn't missed.
Well, I mean, as many times as he's been hit, that's pretty amazing, honestly.
It's a testament to his
overall condition and health. Hopefully that hasn't been tarnished over the last couple of years, but I guess we're going to find that out.
All right, so we'll move along. That was an easy one. Okay, the next position I had written down was O-line. Oh, I'm so sick of talking about it, but obviously we can't skip over it. The next one I had written down was O-line. You want to go with that one?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, how do you want to do? You want to go with the starters? I mean, I got five starters. This is another one where I think it's going to be due to lack of options. But I see Brandon Albert on the left, Jameel Douglas, Mike Pouncey, Billy Turner, and Jawan James rounding out our starting line. I will tell you that I've seen some rumors about Evan Mathis possibly coming on board. And I know he's a little bit older, and, you know, they're saying that on his way down, but, you know, good leadership on that line and a couple of good veterans are never going to be a bad thing. I'm holding out for Evan Mathis, thinking he might somehow get in there to challenge the starters.
Okay. So who do you got backing up those five guys?
Well, I got Dallas Thomas, J.D. Walton, and Jason Fox. And here was I read an interesting article about it. And at first it struck me a little crazy about two of my picks. You know, my opinion of Dallas Thomas hasn't been so good. You know, J.D. Walton, Jason Fox, these are guys that we're trying to groom. And J.D. Walton makes a very good backup for Pouncey should he happen to go out. So I think he's pretty much guaranteed his backup spot.
For sure. Yeah, Walton is the backup center. It's all he's played over his career.
I think by default he's on the team. I don't see how they could not. He hasn't shown any reason why he can't do it, and you know, he's got experience basically in that position. So that's that. Dallas Thomas and Fox. Well, that's where that's going to get interesting. I believe if either one of those guys decides to not become the starter, or you know, doesn't, and again, stating that there's still a chance for either one of those guys to start possibly, but if one of those guys doesn't quite show off so well, I have a feeling one of them's going to get cut. And then there's a Jeff Linkenbach, who's a kind of like the guy a little bit. They got him in a pretty favorable contract. I don't believe his money. He has like a real small guarantee. It was like $25,000 or $50,000 or something like that. But I think he might be a pretty decent guy to step in and all of a sudden take over. He's been one of those guys that's kind of a – he can play any position. And if he has any remotely type great preseason camp, I can honestly see him taking over for Thomas or Fox and moving one of them out just because of his ability to kind of play any position, which ultimately helps us because we've had so many issues. We want a guy that can kind of shift and play different spots and hold his own in that position. So for right now, I got to run with Dallas Thomas and Fox and Walton as my backups. But I think Jeff Linkenbach definitely has a chance to make the roster if either one of those guys slip in camp.
Okay, so excuse me. So interestingly enough, you have them keeping 8 O-line, if I count correctly.
That's correct.
Okay. I have them keeping, this is where it gets interesting because I'm curious to see the players you'll have later on. I have them keeping 10 O-line, at least at the initial 53 cut. Now, sometimes, you know, they cut down to 53 and then they go and claim guys and things change. That happened last year as well. But I have them keeping 10. And the extra ones I have them keeping in that you didn't name were Brenner, because I think they trust him, even though he's listed as a center, and he would be a third center. Excuse me. Even though he would be a third center, he can play other positions, and I think they trust him. And I do have Linkenbach in there. And I have them keeping 10, and here's the reason. And I lied. I guess I lied when I said I didn't really consider the injury piece. I consider special teams. This was the one position I did look at injury. We are not sure about Brandon Albert and how ready he'll be come game one or two. And even if he starts, maybe it's iffy. So I considered that to be an issue. And the fact that we just have so much question at these guard spots and they just may want to keep someone extra around, that's the reason I went 10. Last year they kept 9, so I'm going one over what they kept. 8 feels very thin to me. I'm not really sure, but it feels very thin.
Well, let me preface what I said where, one, if Evan Mathis becomes available, I think that changes. And I do have a guy later on down the road that I'll let you know who might be the bubble guy for Evan Mathis. Because, again, I honestly believe he makes an immediate impact and he's probably starting if he comes to the Dolphins. And there is interest. There is interest in that. Of him coming, and I know we have interest in him. So it's a matter of if we can get a con. I think he's still wanting a little bit of money, maybe a little more than what he's maybe truly worth. Mm-hmm. But if they end up bringing him in, I see 9. And again, the only reason why I don't see 9 or 10 any other way – now, I take that back. There is a possibility Linkenbach could make it as well. If all three of the backups that I listed play well and Linkenbach somehow still plays well, I think that, again, my bubble guy that I was talking about that I'll bring up down the road – there's still a possibility, so maybe I should preface that by saying that there is a chance that they run 9. I just think right out the gate, once we get out of training camp, I got to believe that we're going to be leaning more towards the 8 that I picked, and that's going to be an extreme situation where you pick up the extra 9th guy.
Okay.
I didn't put as much weight in the injuries as I did last year. The reason why is, I don't know, maybe I'm just more thinking on faith, but I just don't see how we could have the same amount of injuries at those positions that we did last year. That's not common, and maybe it's I'm the gambler in me that I'm thinking about rolling the dice and playing the odds, but I just don't see how that's going to happen. And everything I've read has said Brandon Albert's looking really good and that he should be ready to go. So I don't know what, you know, if you've read something different than that, but I have no doubt about his abilities to start come day one.
I have read exactly what you've read, and I have also read something totally different. So I'm so absolutely lost onto whether Albert would be ready week one. It's just so 50-50, I can't even guess anymore.
I might just be possibly tuning out the bad ones. That way I don't have to keep it in my memory.
That's a good call. Okay, so let's move on. This should get more interesting. Wide receiver, what you got?
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I let's back it up because I want to do running back since
Okay, no, that's fair.
Ties directly in with the O-line, so I think this will be a good play on things
that's
here.
That's fine. It's my show, but we'll do running back. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I appreciate that.
I'm just kidding.
I appreciate you giving me a pass.
I'm just kidding. I'll just mess with you, dude. No, okay, let's go to running back.
Well, this is one that I think you and I, we might agree on, but we might not. But I think I'm going to split this one. I think coming out the gate, Lamar Miller's a starter.
Yes.
I just don't see how they can't give him a chance. He had a great year last year, with the exception of him maybe having a horrible camp and preseason not looking good. I just don't see how he can lose the starting job. However, I do believe our boy is pushing him pretty heavy come camp, and I honestly think he's going to snake some of those carries just because he's an every down back. So Jay Ajayi, he is going to do very well at making Lamar Miller either look really good or look really bad. And I have a feeling at some point in the season, there's going to be either a split time situation, or one of those guys is just going to get really upset, because I believe that they both are capable of making us great. We had talked about running the pro form set, having two running backs out of the backfield. I honestly believe that that's going to be something that gets utilized early, often, and they're going to find a way to make both of those guys get some pretty equal carries. I don't know if I'd necessarily call it like a Carolina situation with the two injury-plagued running backs that are up there. But I definitely could see them being a two-headed monster, kind of like how the Giants had back when they had Tiki and Ron Dane or whatever his name was.
You know what it sounded like you just gave everybody? Yeah. Sounds like you gave everybody a fantasy alert. Be aware that Miller's carries may be cut. If I can kind of talk about Ajayi a little bit, anyone who's listened to this show from the beginning knows I'm a huge fan, but the more I'm reading, I'm to the point where I'm still a fan, I'm still excited, I need to see it with pads on. I need to see what he does with pads on, because I was hearing it first and all the talk was, he can run between the tackles, he's a bruiser, he's this, he's that. And now I'm wondering, is that true, or is he just another Miller? Is he like the same guy as Miller? And if that's the case, I'm giving Miller the nod right now all the way. So I need to see what it looks like when they put the pads on, honestly. Well,
there is an issue with Ajayi that could be a problem, and I didn't know about this until I was doing a little research the other night. Mike Mayock reported that he has bone on bone on one of his knees.
It's the reason he dropped to the fifth round. It's the reason he wasn't a second rounder.
I'm not saying that a running back can't power through that and can't still be productive, but that's definitely a concern, which is even more of a reason why I believe you split the two backs and you're giving them equal time, and going that route will prolong his career, but yet still give him the ability to make big plays. And that when I read that, it kind of just validated everything I thought about them running a two-back set.
Okay. All right, so Miller and Ajayi, obviously. What do you got after that?
Well, we're going to run with four running backs this year.
That's what I got, Damian, too.
Damian Williams for sure. And surprisingly, man, I'm still a big fan of LaMichael James. I watched him in college a lot, and – he was amazing, and my thing is I don't believe he might not ever get a chance, honestly, because there's a lot of depth in front of him. But I think he's a good back, and I think he'll make a huge impact on special teams. More than anything, he'll make a huge impact on special teams.
Well, guess what? Let's go with it. I got Miller, Ajayi, Williams, and LaMichael James, and I kept LaMichael James over Mike Gillisley because we only have five backs even on the roster right now.
Sure.
Total. So they didn't really bring in. They didn't. I mean, they didn't really bring in anybody besides Ajayi in the draft. I kept LaMichael James for two reasons. And it's probably 50-50 on this. The special teams. And I think that because they're going to be using Landry more in the passing game, they may back him off of some of that special teams work. And there's your guy. Now, of course, they're going to try out, you know, five or six different people during camp. And someone else may come up a better return guy. But another reason I think LaMichael James, because I honestly just think Mike Gillisley sucks. And I can't believe he's still on this roster. And it's rare you hear me say something that strong about a player going the other way, being negative, but I'm sorry. I don't know why that guy is still on the roster. I don't know why he's still in the NFL. I have seen absolutely positively nothing from him. And he always looks okay in practices without pads, and then they put the pads on, and the guy, he goes ghost on you. I mean, he just disappears. You don't even know he's there. I have seen him do nothing. So for those two reasons, I got the same four backs you got.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not maybe as harsh on him as you are, but he's definitely not – he's really kind of a waste of space. So there's no reason to have him on the team. LaMichael James is a tiny back. He's 200 pounds, 5'9". I don't believe he's going to – I believe that's a part of the reason why they're not going – he's not going to be an every down back. He's kind of like a Reggie Bush. He's just not a big dude. He's not going to absorb a lot of punishment that he's going to get in the league. But you put him on special teams, have him be a back that comes in on plays where you're bringing the back out into the you swing him out to the slot or something like that. The guy can make catches and he can run the ball. He can run routes okay. I mean, you know, you can utilize him in a lot of ways, but definitely on special teams. Yeah, no, those four are pretty much a lock. I don't see, and even in the order that we just mentioned them, I don't see how that they're going to change that in any way. I mean, LaMichael James could eventually overtake Damian Williams, but I just with his size, he's going to have to hit the weights and maybe put on a little weight in order for them to make that kind of a call. But I don't see that happening.
I will, though, go a little bit devil's advocate. Perhaps some of the same things that I just said about Gillislee could be said about LaMichael James. He's been in the league for a little bit, and has he done anything? No, not really. But when my eyeballs see both those guys, unless they just decide to cut both of them and pick up somebody, I see it being James over Gillislee.
It'll be interesting to see that.
All right, man. With your permission, how about wide receiver? Are you ready?
I think we can do wide receiver now that we got that out of the way.
All right, go for it.
All right, so wide receiver. I think this one was a little bit harder, and this is going back to the whole week. This is where we got a lot of great depth. But also look at it from the perspective that we cut everyone that we had that was good and brought in all new people. So it really actually became a lot easier than I thought it would be. But there is a little bit to it. I'll start with the starters. I mean, I think it's a given that you got Jarvis Landry, and I'm going to have to go with Devontae Parker just because I'm praying to God that he is ready to go for week one. Assuming that he will, obviously the starting job is his with Jarvis Landry in the slot, and then I'm going with Kenny Stills on the other side. Backups is really where it kind of got tricky, but I want to kind of stop there and see what you think about starters.
Landry's guaranteed, and I think with the what Philbin wants to do more than anything in the world, he wants to do like what they do in Green Bay. They take their wide receivers and they put all of those guys all over the field, and you just never know where they're lining up and what kind of route they're going to run. So Landry's guaranteed, and then I see them, at least at first, considering Parker is a rookie. And I'm not the biggest Stills fan in the world. I kind of like what he does for the team, but I'm not super excited yet. I see them taking Jennings, Parker, and Stills, and those guys are just in kind of a rotation for a while, at least at first, until it settles down and we figure out who are the two guys. So honestly, but obviously you have to pick a starter, right? And they're going to go into a set where when we watch the first game and they show on the screen who the starters are, it's going to be three wide receivers. So if you make me pick it, I'll go Landry, Stills, and Parker. I'll just go ahead with that. Although I can't feel 100% confident on it, but I'm telling you, they could put it on the screen that those three guys are the starters, and then the first play, it could be Jennings in there instead of Stills. You know what I mean? that might happen because Joe Philbin wants to rotate those guys all over the field, all over the place, but Landry ain't coming off the field. That I know.
I'm just going off of just the appearance that Jennings has had ever since he left Green Bay. You know, again, it's kind of hard to go from having an Aaron Rodgers throw to you to just about anybody else in the league, right? He makes bad receivers look good and good receivers look great. I think we're going to find that out with this other guy who just left the Broncos and signed a big contract. Yeah, we're going to see how well he does with a quarterback that's not going to be as good. But we'll discuss that in private one day.
Are you talking about who are you talking about? Thomas? Julius Thomas?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was a little lost for a second. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, no, not Julius. Demaryius Thomas.
He didn't leave the Broncos. Julius Thomas left the Broncos.
Is it okay, whoever.
So yeah, the tight end. Yeah, Demaryius Thomas signed a big old deal.
Yeah, he's not going to do well. Anytime you got a quarterback that's throwing the ball like that, and then you go to a quarterback that's not throwing the ball, you're going to be exposed a little bit. And I believe the talent level there was exaggerated. But anyway, when you get back to this, Jennings has lost a step. It's clear. I don't believe that he can play. He's definitely not a starting receiver. And a number two receiver is questionable. Kenny Stills has got youth. He's still got speed. I think Greg Jennings could somehow come in and spill him. I just don't see how he's going to take over that position unless Philbin just absolutely is got a man crush on him. And I know that they have a history together, and there's always that possibility. But Philbin doesn't seem to me like a guy who's going to sacrifice the team for a relationship. I mean, he's going to put the best guy on the field. And I just don't think Greg Jennings has enough in him to do that. But it's a good problem to have, because I don't think he's much worse than Kenny Stills. And obviously his experience will make up for any shortcomings. So really those two guys, I kind of agree, they're kind of the same dude in that respect. I think we got a really good starters either way. But it's going to rotate between those three for sure, or those two, I should say, as the second receiver.
Okay, and continue on down the depth chart there.
Well, assuming that I go with Greg Jennings on the bench, I'll put him as my first bench guy. I believe we're starting six. We're going to have six receivers on the team.
Okay.
Tommy Streeter has been one of those guys that he's got all the skills. I mean, he's a tall guy. He's got all the attributes. Can he be the guy to step in there and be that guy that comes in and takes over for Parker when he needs a rake? Who knows? Possibly. He's got the skill set to do it, and he's got the size and everything to do it. Whether or not, I don't know, but I think he makes the team just because he's done enough. Believe it or not, I like Bashard Matthews. He's still hanging around, man. He hates our guts. He doesn't want to be here. He's angry.
Can you blame him? Think about it.
No, I'm with you.
He came in. He was a rookie. Okay, so he didn't get a lot of love. I think he was a real low draft pick. Then, as he starts to learn it a little bit, he's like, "All right, I'm gonna be something. We're gonna do something here." We go out, we get Mike Wallace. We go out, we get Brandon Gibson. We sign Brian Hartline to a big deal, and he's like, "Dang, I'm four again." Then we get rid of all of those guys, and he's like, "All right, I'm ready. Here I am, coach. Put me in, coach." Then we go get Parker. We get Stills. We get Jennings. Like, I'd be mad, too. Like, the guy doesn't get a chance, and I think some people think that because he doesn't have talent, but when I see them give him a chance, I see talent. I got him on my 53 for sure, unless they decide to trade him or something. I got him on the 53.
I don't see how you can trade him. I mean, I don't see anybody behind him that's better. I honestly don't. He's a great player. He contributes when he's contributed on special teams.
Yes.
I don't see why he didn't get a chance. But I'll tell you what, if he doesn't pout and he puts his effort in it, like I've seen him do the last 2 years, he's had breakout games. I was at the Tampa Bay game when he had that huge, like, 14 catch, 100-and-something yard, 2 touchdowns. I mean, I was like, I didn't even really know him at that point, and I was blown away by his performance. Now, granted, it was Tampa, and by the way, we lost that game. Horrible.
Well, that was the game after the Bullygate scandal. That was when it all went down.
We lost to a team that had not won a game in 9 games, and we gave them their only win.
Yeah, well, that was the game after the Bullygate scandal. I think we could maybe be excused a little bit on that one.
Ron, I know this is your show, brother, but I will absolutely not let you minimize that. That was the most ridiculous thing I've seen since our 1-15 season.
Oh, I gotcha. I'm just trying.
But anyway, yeah, so I don't want to get off on that tangent, but I believe the kid deserves a shot. I believe that he's gonna stay on the team. I think he's going to get through. He'll play well, just hoping that another team looks at him and says, "Look, we got it. The Dolphins don't want to use him. We'll take him." But I'll be honest with you, I'm really high on Tommy Streeter. I think that he is going to be – he has the potential to be something great. Being a Florida, Florida State guy, I watch Miami's football program very, very well because I hate them, and I say that because, again, I'm a Florida State guy, so I have to hate them. But I watch this guy, really big dude, and I think if he would have been on a team like Florida State who had a good quarterback or even a decent quarterback team, he would have had a lot better stats, and we wouldn't be talking about him like he was a fifth or sixth string guy. He'd be a little higher up on somebody's roster, and maybe even if he wasn't on the Dolphins team, we already have great superstars. So I'm telling you, that's another one of those. I wouldn't say a fantasy sleeper, but watch out for this guy in the next couple of years. I think he's going to be dynamite.
So you're keeping six, and you've got Landry, Stills, Parker, Jennings, Matthews, and Streeter.
That's right.
Okay. I kept five, and obviously, you know, this is where I have to start digging into the numbers because I've written down 10 O-linemen. Even though I kind of feel in my heart of hearts it'll probably end up being nine after they do the cuts and then they bring on some free agents and, you know, some waiver wire guys, I should say, and yada, yada, yada at the very end of training camp. This is one of the places where I had to make a decision. I went with five, and my five are pretty much your first five. Landry, Stills, Parker, Jennings, and Matthews. I know, it's really boring. Dude, my 53 is boring. I was so disappointed in myself. I thought I'd, you know, find some, like, hidden gems, and, oh, yeah, I'm gonna nail it this way. I got a couple places, and the defense is a little bit more exciting. But my offense is just, my 53, offensive end of the 53 is just, it's so inside the box, it's ridiculous. Well, I'm glad to see Yusa pulling out, like, Streeter and stuff like that. Like, that's awesome. I knew who he was, and I looked at it for a second, but I was like, nah, I just went with the five guys and moved on.
Dude, he's 6'5", 216 pounds. He's going to gain a little more weight, and he's young, man, and he came from the U. And the kid's got some speed, man, and I really believe he has the ability to do something pretty good. But, you know, who knows? Hey, and you know what? I'm just hoping our offense isn't as boring as your picks. That's just hoping that's the way it goes.
I know. My 53. I mean, they're not going to be boring when they're playing. I'm just like my. It's not there wasn't thought put into it. I put a lot of thought into it. I just couldn't get past the. I think it was a good thing. At least I'm not sitting here, and that's a good thing for the Dolphins. At least it's like oh my God, I see like 20 guys we keep, and the rest I don't know. I mean, we've had seasons that if I had done this in those seasons, that's probably how it would have gone down. But right. I feel like the top of our roster is so solid that it's what makes it for me so obvious. I will say this, and I want to give a little shout out to somebody on Twitter, Professor Lou. And I'm sorry, Lou, I don't have your exact Twitter handle in front of me. I should have written it down. He said last night. No, it was a couple nights ago. Maybe it was last night. I threw out a couple questions on Twitter about the 53, and he threw out a response that. Said, it seems to me the way the Dolphins stacked the bottom of their training camp roster for wide receiver, they are in search of another big receiver. So you might really have something on the Streeter thing. Because they've got Preston, they've got Streeter, they drafted Parker. Like, they want some bigger receivers on this team. I think that might be to help the red zone piece. Again, and I've talked about that 100 times, is trying to get help in the red zone for Tannehill.
Absolutely.
So you really might have something. I think that's definitely something to watch, and you might be onto something there. Because if they do just go end up with nine linemen, that extra player could go there to keep six wide receivers. Because I wrote down, we're keeping six wide receivers, and then as I did the numbers, I couldn't make it work. No matter what I did with some of the other positions, I couldn't make it work. And we'll see, man. I think that's an interesting find. I think you might have something there.
All right, well, I guess we'll see.
All right, the only thing left in O is tight end.
Tight end, here's where my pick comes in. That might be a little bit this will be one of the bubble guys, and it'll really kind of depend on a couple of things because there is another bubble guy that's attached to this one. But obviously, Jordan, this was not even a negotiation. Jordan Cameron's starting. There's not even a question about it, barring injury. He is by far one of the most elite tight ends we've had in a long time. Injuries, if they can stop hitting him in the head and he can stop getting concussed, I think he's going to do fine. But it is a little bit scary that he's had the history of concussions and, you know, he's just had those issues. But if he stays healthy, man, I mean, who was the guy that blew out? It was Dustin Keller.
Yeah, blew.
Yeah,
well.
You know, he was looking to be, you know, a superstar too, but we never got a chance to see what he was capable of. I think Jordan Cameron fills that gap, and it also allows us to get really creative. You know, with our I got the dogs barking.
You're having some fun. I hear kids. I hear dogs.
Yeah, it really allows us to get creative with the play calling because Jordan Cameron can actually do everything. So. You know, you can run a three wide receiver set with a tight end. The tight end can actually go out and run a route that's not just a basic hook route or a slant or a square out. He can actually run a traditional good route, and he's quick enough to burn somebody. So I like having him as a starter, and I like having him on our team. I think he's going to add a whole new dynamic, especially that red zone we were talking about. He's the guy that's going to catch, I believe, 6-7 touchdowns this year in the end zone. Definitely something we haven't had in the past. As far as backups go, I think Deion Sims, he's pretty much solidified. Thing that bothers me the most is I was kind of high up on Arthur Lynch, man. I thought he was a guy that was going to be really awesome. I mean, I just watched him in college. I just thought the guy was going to be great. And, you know, got nailed last year, and he was out all season. And, you know, one of those situations like that, that injury, you don't know how they're going to recover from it. Tight end is not really something that you need a lot of backups in. So I honestly believe he could be on the bubble just because of the gamble. If he looks as though he's not even 90%, you know, if he's 90, 95% and there's any type of issue, he could be one of my bubble guys that'll make room for the other positions, you know, especially like wide receiver that we need. Because I'll tell you what, you know, it's hard to gauge, man. And I got a buddy of mine, Joe Cohen, who played for Florida. You know, he never really got a chance because of injury. By the time he recovered, they had already drafted around. As a matter of fact, Detroit drafted Sue to replace him because he got injured. You know, he never really got that chance. So I hate to make that same comment, but unfortunately, this is a show me league. And Arthur Lynch might not even get a chance because I honestly feel he might be a bubble guy.
And for those of you that really remember some what you would say, and I don't want to dismiss Joe as being random, but for as far as Dolphins fan, he was actually on the Dolphins in training camp on our practice Absolutely. Squad for a while. He was also – I think he had got like – I'm trying to remember. I know he was playing for the Dolphins for a little bit, got cut. He went to Oakland. And this is all during preseason. He went and he had 3 sacks in a game, and then he still got cut. Poor guy. Yeah, that knee injury. But anyway, I didn't want to get into that, but I just mentioned it because Joe did actually play on the Dolphins for a little bit.
Yeah, no, yeah, he did. I told him if he lands a spot, I expect season tickets.
Okay. but just to lock it down, though, you are going with 3 tight ends, right? You're not going to come here and tell me that we're only keeping 2 tight ends.
Like I'm going with we're only going to have 2 tight end. I'm going with Arthur Lynch could be a bubble guy, especially if we somehow have the chance to bring Evan Mathis in, because I believe they're gonna value that extra guard before they're gonna value that extra tight end. So I'm telling you that yes, I think that we could possibly have 2 going into the season.
I got to make you lock it down, though. You got to lock down this 53. So you're going – so Cameron Sims, so Lynch is on the 53 after the initial cuts, or he is not?
I don't get a mulligan for this one?
No. You got to lock it down. Don't worry. I've got one later. I've got a slash on that I have to make a decision. I've been staring at it. It's in defense, and I still can't decide. So Lynch, yes or no? He's on it or not?
I will commit to Lynch only because I really don't think Mathis is coming. But if he does come, I'm telling you that Arthur Lynch might not make the team.
Okay. All right. So you're saying for now he's on the 53, because I'm telling you there's no way in the world they're rolling in with 2 tight ends. That's not happening.
We don't run a lot of 2 tight end sets, man. No,
we don't. But you got to have 3 tight ends. If we ran a lot of 2 tight end site, you need 2 tight end sets. You need 4 tight ends. That's the reason we keep 3 is because we don't run a lot of 2 tight end sets.
I hear what you're saying, but we can continue this debate as we get into the defensive players.
Okay. All right. All right. That sounds good. All right, man. We're heading to defense. I'll let you start it off wherever you want to start.
Oh, I get the reins. Well, cool. Let's go with the position that I know the least about, which is basically our linebackers. I am not. This is the one position I'd rather get the ignorant stupidness out of the way, because I really don't know a lot about these guys. But I will tell you the one thing I do know is just about every one of them are homegrowns. We drafted them, and that's something that you and I talked about previously on and off the air. I love that, man. I love that we've got these guys that are in-house, and I see the Seattle plan and how they built that team. And I believe we might have this group of linebackers here and the same ability.
I agree.
Starting with our starters, I'm going with Jelani Jenkins, Koa Misi, and Chris McCain. I believe those are going to be our 3 starters. I don't see how any of the backups have the ability to bump them out of that place. I don't see it. I mean, the backups are, they got potential, blah, 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 but I don't believe that they're going to
I see some potential for it happening with Shepard, because I'm not sure how much, and the Dolphins like McCain a lot. I just don't know how much they trust him to play every down, and I see it being a possibility that Shepard goes into that position, and McCain becomes a more of a utility, like the speed package, more of a blitzing linebacker, because he's really good rushing the quarterback. But I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying I could see it happening as the preseason goes on. But they're both on the roster, so for the sake of this show, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, and Shepard basically makes, Koi Misi, he basically is geared to back him up at middle linebacker. So he does make him the most, in my opinion, the most viable backup middle linebacker. If you're getting into the other, might as well name them all. I got Shepard as my backup. I have Jordan Tripp, and I have Jeff Luke. The reason why I have six linebackers, and, I think you could even maybe – you can maybe trim one, but I believe it's...
I got eight linebackers, brother. I got eight linebackers. Sorry, we were interrupted, so if there's a weird edit there, I'm sorry. Sean, I had just said that I've got eight written down for a linebacker, but we'll wait for me as to... I'll explain why. Continue on with the six you got. You said you feel it even could be trimmed down to five, which I don't see that in a million years.
Well, I
got to be honest with you. At this point, I'm really feeling like I don't know what we're wagering on this 53-man roster, but I'm feeling really good that I got this. I'm going to win this thing here, man.
Well, you always feel that way, and then you end up losing, so it's fine.
Hey, I didn't lose during that, what was that, Canes FSU, when we bet the second half about the point spread?
I was being generous.
I didn't lose that one, man.
I was being generous.
What about Johnny Manziel? What about that one? I didn't lose that one, even though it wasn't an official bet.
That one's not over yet.
It's over. No, the bet was okay. I don't want to get into it. Anyway, come on.
When I said trim, what I was getting at was like I'm talking about the offensive or the starters. Basically, I don't think that any one of these guys is on the backups are being looked at as. Well, we can just throw them in there and they feel comfortable with it. I think that they're all works in progress. I'm more or less comparing it if somebody somehow popped up on the free agent wire, we could trim one of them off and pick up another guy. We need six linebackers, no doubt about it. I mean, and I don't believe you can ever really have a team that doesn't have that unless you got some guys that can kind of play all over the place. Linebacker is one of those positions that, in my opinion, it kind of makes it breaks a team. If you have really good linebackers – I know we'll get into the defensive line being our strength and blah, blah, blah. But even more so, I think you have to have good linebackers, especially in the division that we're in, that can actually cover, they can pressure, they can do like, stop the run, they can do everything. And I think with us having these guys that are still kind of, finding their way, and they're a little younger and we're trying to get them to, up to speed. I think until that really pays off completely and these guys are gelling together, you really kind of have a – you might have a lot of swapping out here, and I honestly could see, other than maybe Koa Misi and Jelani Jenkins, you might actually see a lot of substitutions and a lot of guys coming on the field playing different packages.
Okay, all right. So you got Misi, Shepard, Jenkins, McCain, Tripp, and who else?
Jeff Luke.
Luke. Okay. Cool. All right. So you got six. I've got eight, and the reason I have eight. Is because linebackers are very big special teams contributors. I went almost solely with that the special teams angle is going to be very important for the Dolphins, the special teams coverage specifically, because we had some breakdowns last year in special teams coverage. And I think they're really going to work hard to work the bottom of this roster, because I do feel that the top 40 guys or so, even a little deeper, are really solid for us. They can truly take those bottom next guys, 10 guys, 8 guys, whatever they are, and think about special teams. So I went Misi, Jenkins, McCain as the starters. I still have McCain as a starter, even though I wonder, there'll be a battle there. Then I got Shepard and Tripp, those five. I didn't even have Luke on the roster. I saw him as not being on the roster. I've got Hewitt, Vigil, and Paysinger. So two of the four undrafted free agent linebackers we went and got after the draft, I got us keeping Hewitt and Vigil. And I also have us keeping Paysinger. So I got eight guys. And again, that was all I was thinking special teams the whole way on that. And that's why I've got so many guys. And we did keep eight last year as well after the season was over. That doesn't mean we'll do it this year. If there's some cornerbacks, if there's some wide receivers, even tight ends that might have better special teams contribution, those numbers could go there instead.
Don't disagree. I don't disagree at all. I will tell you, I'm a fan of Hewitt's. I believe he could make this team. And I'll preface that when we get to the defensive line, because I'll have a little more explanation on that. But I can see the purpose for seven. But I also like Jeff Luke because he's a big guy. 255 pounds, solid guy. Cincinnati, not the greatest team in the world, but they play for it. But I think he can make an impact right away. I do believe he has more physical attributes and skills than the other guys you mentioned. But I don't know. I guess we'll wait and see. I like my six.
Okay, cool. All right, we're going to move on. Let's do the D-line. I have it split defensive tackle and defensive end. I don't know if you wrote it down that way or if you just wrote it grouped together.
I broke it up, but it doesn't matter. We can do them all together.
Yeah, let's go defensive tackles. What do you see?
Well, defensive tackle, that was kind of easy. Sue's starting and Earl Mitchell probably right beside him. But it kind of gets interesting because I told you how big of a fan I am of Jordan Phillips. I thought the day he was going to be the guy that comes in and he's going to eventually take over. But then they bring in C.J. Mosley, and I like that guy too. I think between those four guys, I think you got a pretty solid rotation. I should say those three guys because Sue's not coming off the field. But you got Mitchell, Phillips, and Mosley that are going to make a really awesome rotation going in there. And I guess let me get into where my final bubble guy is. I brought Anthony Johnson in as well. He was a rookie last year, didn't see a whole lot of playing time, but I thought he looked pretty good. And if we didn't bring on all these other guys, I thought he would make a pretty good impact on the team. I still think he could make that team, and we end up running five defensive tackles. And just because I believe there's still such an emphasis on that line being strong so that we don't have the fallout that we've had every single year. We seem to play whatever level we play, we take a step off. Coming in December and even late November, and we just fall off the map. And I think if we're keeping those big guys healthy, I can see there being a reason to keep five defensive tackles for that reason. Anthony Johnson's a bubble guy for sure. And again, he's another one of the guys that I believe if Evans comes in, Johnson's not on the team. But I know we're trying to go and lock down players. So for right now, because I honestly believe Evan Mathis just isn't coming, I think you're looking at Sue and Mitchell starting. Although I believe Mosley and Phillips could easily take him over in preseason, quite frankly. Phillips maybe not as much as Mosley, but I believe Earl Mitchell might not be the starter come the beginning of the season, and then take Anthony Johnson as our fifth defensive tackle.
Okay. This is where it got interesting for me. I wrote down those same five guys, but the numbers don't work for me to keep Johnson. So I have to cut him, and here's
that's because you're working off a 62-man roster.
Yeah, apparently. No, they just don't because right now it's because of that O-line, and I'm trying to get as close as I can to what the 53 cut will be initially. And again, I'll go back to it with injury questions, with who's good, who's not, with the questions at guard. It's why I have 10 O-linemen sitting on the roster when we make the initial 53. Somehow I have a feeling that once the first game opens up, that's not what the numbers will look like. But for me, I went with this is what the 53 will look like after they make those first initial cuts down to 53. So I don't have Johnson there. We had to ask the question, why did they bring in Mosley? Was it because they're not sure about Mitchell? Or was it because they don't really love Johnson and Francis? Well, I'm just going to go with they don't really love Johnson and Francis. That they're okay, but they'd rather have Mosley. So I'm staying with four. Sue, Mitchell, Mosley, and Phillips. And I'm going with four. But I know I talked to some people on Twitter that felt like they were keeping five defensive tackles too, and they mentioned some of the same things you mentioned about it. So I could be off on that one. For me, likely, if we go to nine O-linemen, that might be – if they cut down to nine O-linemen, that might be where the extra player goes for me, the way I have it, is Johnson gets kept, not Francis. So I think we're close on that.
Yeah, I want to go back to you on the offensive line, if you don't mind. I really think we could use 9 or 10 linemen. I just don't believe we have 9 or 10 linemen worth keeping. Okay. So I'm going to go with the best player. And I believe Anthony Johnson on our team is better than any other tackle, guard, center that we have sitting there waiting on the team. And I'm a guy that's going to pick best available. And I've always been a big fan of that, unless it's an absolute position you don't need. But if it's a position that, like, you know, you have the best of this position in the league and that's the next one on the board, obviously that doesn't count. But I'm going to take best position every time. And, you know, defensive tackle has been one that we've struggled with. I just in my heart couldn't see putting an extra guy or two guys on an offensive line that we just simply are never going to start. They're just not good enough, in my opinion. So just wanted to preface it with that. That's why I believe we lean on the defensive side of the game. The defense side of the ball, and we go with five tackles.
Okay. I am not going to sit there and disagree with that. I had to go back and forth. You know, I had to pull numbers from somewhere, so that was one of the places. All right, sure. What about defensive end?
It's easy to do that when you got Sue, and you just know how great he's going to be. At least we're assuming he's going to be great. So I can see where you would want to go that route. I can understand it completely.
Okay. So
on the defensive ends, this is kind of another brainer, no brainer on the starters. I mean, Wake and Vernon, Moby's definitely on the other side of Wake. I don't see how that could change barring injury. Just don't see it happen. As far as backups, I still got five total for this as well, because again, leaning back towards our collapse at the end of the year, what did it fall down to last year? It was the run game. I believe that we can go back years past and you can just see the O-line. It was definitely not as strong, or the D-line, I apologize. So I got Derek Shelby, Terrence Fade, and Ray Drew as my starters or my backups on the linebacking. God, I'm losing my mind. On the
defensive end.
On
there
the
you
ends,
go.
As my ends. Yeah. I think I'm falling asleep over here.
No. Are you bored? Are we boring you?
No,
am I boring you here?
Not,
are we boring our
no,
listeners? If you're falling asleep, I'd say the listeners have probably turned this podcast off and deleted it by now.
I'm not as good at reading and talking as I once was. So, you know, I did come up with this big cheat sheet that I made. So let me break these down for you. You know, Derek Shelby and Terrence Fade, let's start with those. You know, Shelby's been with the team. And he's been awesome. I mean, it's a contract year for him. I think he's going to step up and he's going to show us something. Fade, not so much. You know, he was a seventh round pick. You know, he came in and did all right. I mean, he's not anything great, but I mean, I think he, you know, he's one of those guys that he's good, like there de facto. The one I really like is I like Ray Drew. Lot of potential with this kid, man. And he, you know, obviously being a rookie, we have a lot of, you know, coming from a strong program, Georgia, big, strong guy. I mean, I was looking at some of the what he did at the combine. I was blown away by it. He needs a little work. They said he's a little lazy, if you want to call it that, or they say work ethic. I call it lazy. You know, you need to step your game up and play 100% every play. But he was a five-star recruit coming out of high school. And, you know, you don't make it to Georgia and play there like he did if you're not dominant. And I saw some of his games. I watched a lot of SEC football, and the kid can play. I think we got a steal where we got him, and I believe that I think he's going to make an impact. Maybe not this year, but he's definitely going to learn under some of the best players in the NFL. I mean, I don't see any reason why this guy's not starting in the next 2 years.
Okay. This is where it got tough for me. I wrote down Drew, but again, the numbers didn't add up for me, so I just circled him like a bubble. Wake, Vernon, Fide, Shelby, and Drew. I liked Drew too. I couldn't figure out why he wasn't at least a mid round draft pick or something. I was surprised that we got him the way we got him. It's tough for me on that one. I see no reason why Drew can't make this team, but I have this feeling when they start bearing out the numbers, they're going to attempt to sneakily cut him on the first wave of cuts, and this is what teams will do. They'll try and cut players on the first wave of cuts to pretend like, yeah, these are our crappiest guys. Don't look at them. Nothing to see here. And then try and put them on their practice squad when really they'll do that to try and mask that. We really like this guy. We want him on our practice squad. So we'll cut him first so it looks like we hate him. You know what I mean? I kind of see them doing that with this guy. So for my 53, I have Wake, Vernon, Fide, and Shelby. I didn't put Drew on there, although I like him. I think that they're going to try and put him on the practice squad when the cuts come down.
I guess I'm a little bit more of a gambler than most people. If I was cutting somebody, I would cut Fide. I don't believe he's I don't believe he's really done enough to where I'm not going to put a lot of. If I have to cut, I'm going to trim. I brought in a rookie that I thought I think we got a steal on. barring him doing something just really bad in camp or really showing that he's more of a lazy, you know, person than they're giving him credit for, I wouldn't cut. I'd give him a shot. I mean, the kid's got all the talent in the world. I mean, he's a guy that if he's motivated properly, he is going to be great. So I don't know. I have a hard time going with four there. I know you were trimming because you felt you had to, but again, I'm going with the fact that I believe our defensive line last year was what struggled and ultimately what cost us the playoffs. Honestly, last year was those front four. So I'll stick with mine. I can see where you went with four. We can agree to disagree on that.
Where we'll disagree even more is just consider the way Coyle thinks. He does not like to play rookies. He does not like to give rookies a lot of time. It is not his thing. Fide is a draft pick. He was a small school draft pick from the seventh round for us last year. So he's also attached to Hickey. And when I say attached, I mean they're not going to give up on that. He's a second-year guy. He's shown some potential and some flashes. They're not going to get rid of Fide over Drew unless the preseason really... I mean, there really has to be – Drew has to extremely outshine Fide in order for that to happen to the point where they say, we're keeping four defensive ends and we're cutting Fide and we're keeping Drew. That would have to be an extreme performance by Drew and a bad one by Fide for that to happen. But if they keep five, yeah, Drew's on there. That's the way I see it.
That's my point. I don't believe that Fide is worse than any of the offensive linemen you decided to keep. That's why I have five. I believe they're going to go with the better players, and I think that I don't think he's bad. I just think that he's not good enough that he's going to break. He's not going to dislodge Vernon or Wake, but I do believe that Ray Drew has the ability to do that. Better pedigree. Their stats are about the same. You know, Drew's a little bit taller, about the same weight, but I believe he's a lot more aggressive. I think he played with a better system. And yes, I know they don't like to play rookies, but you know what? He's not going to really play that much. He's going to spell, if anything. And in the preseason, I think he's going to show something, and we'll see what happens.
Okay, now I want to tell a little bit of a funny story about Shelby, and it's not about him directly. This is absolutely off the wall and hilarious. Somebody I used to work with came to me, I think it was last year, obviously, and he said, and he does not watch football. He knows nothing about football. And he says, hey, is Derek Shelby a Dolphin? And I said, I'm not sure I follow what you mean. That you mean, like, does Derek Shelby play for the Miami Dolphins? And he said, yes. I said, yes. And he said, okay. Now, what this guy does is he has a podcast. It is not a sports podcast. It is some randomly strange, humorous podcast called Beware the Hairy Mango, where he does these little five-minute short stories that are absolutely off the wall. I think they call it flash fiction, but it's more like science fiction. They're all based in humor. He says it all really fast, and he can't even understand what's going on half the time. And the reason he did that is he wanted to make a joke about catching dolphins in nets, and then he looked up the Miami Dolphins, picked a player off the roster, and it ended up being Derek Shelby, and wrote about Derek Shelby getting caught in a net. But now here's where this is interesting. I said, yeah, I mean, he's somebody, but dude, nobody even hardly knows who that guy is. Like, literally the next week, this guy was thrown into the spotlight as far as he was getting major playing time. And then 2 weeks later, this guy was beat up by the cops, off the team practically, or suspended indefinitely. And I told you, I went to my friend Matt, Matthew Sanborn Smith, actually. And, I told him, I said, you ruined this guy's life, man. He was fine. He was backing up. He was just doing his normal thing. And you had to go there and put him out and put him out there. Now look what happened to this guy. I showed him a picture. I was like, look what happened to this guy. This is all your fault. No one knew who this guy was 4 weeks ago. Now look, I just had to tell that. I'm sorry. It's a stupid story that nobody probably cares about but me. But I thought I'd been meaning to mention it on the show, but it didn't really come up until now.
Right.
But anyway, I will give a little plug to my friend, his podcast, Beware the Hairy Mango. It is absolutely not a sports podcast, just a little humor, flash fiction thing. You know, go check it out if you like. He's been doing it like 6-7 years. So he has like 250, 300 episodes. Plenty to listen to. All right, man. Okay, I think we about got that beat to death. Where do you want to go next? Cornerback?
Yeah, let's just take it up the roster at this point. This one's going to be kind of easy too for the starters. You know, Brent Grimes, no question. Jamar Taylor, I think he's going to do just fine. I mean, he's He struggled. You know, and I actually went to the effort to break down stats for him. So I'll go ahead and give you the stats that he's had over the last basically, you know, 53 passes. 37 completions on 53 passes throughout his entire career. That's 69.8%. And he's given up two touchdowns. And that really is not all important. The thing that bothers me most about this guy, he hasn't registered a single pass breakup, not one. You remember, we used to have two guys on our team that had that problem, right? We had two guys, Sean Smith, and I don't even like mentioning his name because I don't really like him, but he's gone and he's in Indy now.
Davis.
They never, ever, there was no picks. And yeah, they played defense okay, but they didn't have major plays. This is the problem that I worry about with this guy. That he's not, either he's not going after the ball, he doesn't see the ball, I don't know. I worry about it, but unfortunately, by de facto, I believe he's a starter on the other end. So we're looking at Brent Grimes and Jamar Taylor as our starters. I'll give you a second, too, if you have an opinion of Jamar Taylor, but I'm not 100% sold on the guy.
Taylor's biggest issue has been the health, honestly, and he came into the league that way, and he was a second-round pick instead of a first-round pick because he has partial use of kidneys, for one. Plus, he's had some other just basic football injury health issues on top of that. He has some kind of allergy or resistance to – it's either anti-inflammatories or something. So he can't shoot up like some of the other players do before games for injuries and things like that, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure about that. So all that has been an issue. I still – I still probably see him as the starter unless – somebody really comes in and takes hold of it. So I do see him as a starter. I just don't know if his health will last to see how long that goes. But as far as the 53, I mean, I'm confident he's on it.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And that's why I said by de facto, I don't see how he's not the starter. I don't believe that the guys backing up are good enough yet to take up or step up and take over that position, which – it doesn't make me feel better, but the one thing that we haven't really mentioned is the Sue effect, and I believe that offsets the linebacking that we were discussing earlier. Linebackers are going to be that much better, and I honestly believe that, you know, it also is going to help Jamar Taylor out in that department because ultimately he's going to have less time to cover because Sue's going to be chasing people down from one side and Wake's following him on the other. So, I mean I think he'll do okay. He's just not my ideal candidate as the second cornerback. As far as backups, I got the two McCains. Mm-hmm. I got Will Davis and I got Zach Bowman running three cornerbacks or four cornerbacks as backups. And the reason why is because, one, the injuries to Jamar Taylor. I don't believe that he's 100% sold yet. I don't believe the team sold on him. So I think that there has to be some depth there to cover that. And that's where I believe we stand with those. I'll give you yours and then we can break them down individually if you want.
I have five of the six the same, and now this is going to be crazy because the people who listen to the show are going to think I'm nutso on this one. Since I've been doing this show, and episode one was a defensive roster breakdown, I've talked about how much I like Will Davis, and I don't know if I've talked to myself out of it, if I've just read more and more and more, if I've listened to more and more and more. It's probably all that. I didn't put him on. This is crazy. I didn't put him on the 53, and they're going to think, what? Just like, if anybody was downloading a bunch of shows in a row and listened to them all in 2 days, they would think I was, you know, schizophrenic or something. Because all I've done is talk about how much I like Will Davis, and I know he's going to be on the 53. But when I really sat down to write this down, and I want to be right, you know what I mean? Like, I want to be right so bad. I want to be as close as I can. I put Lippitt instead of Davis. And I did that for a few reasons. If we're talking the bottom, the last cornerback, Will Davis isn't a big special teams contributor, number one. And he's just struggled so far, number two. And I know this goes against the whole, well, Coyle doesn't love to play rookies, but when you're talking about the sixth cornerback, he's not going to really be playing this rookie as a cornerback that much. But the fact that he's a previous wide receiver... And it also kind of worked in my favor that I had kept five wide receivers, so if we needed another guy, he could be that guy to fit in. And I kind of, and I don't know this, of course, but I figure in a guy who can be a wide receiver and a cornerback could have some special teams value. I there's no way I can know that until camp actually starts and we watch it. That may not be the case. He may have zero special teams value, and he ends up not making the initial 53, and they try and put him on the practice squad. But that was the only difference I had there, is I kept Lippitt over Davis, which I can't believe I'm doing it, because I really like Will Davis, but I just see Lippitt over Davis right now. Because I was really trying to write this down and be right and try and take my emotion out of it.
Well, I guess I could agree. I could play devil's advocate, and then I could agree with you both. I don't necessarily agree with your reasoning for that, but I think with the ACL tear, that definitely can always that can taint your opinion of somebody, because again, you just don't know. Did he look to be pretty good before that happened? I honestly thought he'd be challenging Jamar Taylor for the starting position this year on the other side if that didn't happen. As a matter of fact. So I don't really honestly know how you could leave him off, really. I'm a little kind of stunned by that, because I do know you're high on him.
I know. It's crazy, right? I thought they signed Bauman because he has some experience, and they definitely signed him because of the special teams. So I know he's a special teams contributor, so I'm not taking him off. So my choice was Lippitt or Davis, and I went Lippitt.
He's also 30. And that's the thing. He's old. And I'm not saying old like he can't play. I'm not that stupid. Brent Grimes is 32. But I'm saying they signed him so they had some veterans in the back to help bring the younger guys along.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how Will Davis is washed up because he had an ACL tear. I believe that this kid still has a lot of potential. He's got the right size, 5'11", 190 pounds. He's got everything that you want in a cornerback. I think he's had some setbacks, and the injury definitely didn't help. But a lot of times those injuries will help; they'll heal very well, and they come back even stronger. So, I'm still holding out hope that he somehow can overtake Taylor for the second cornerback spot. So that's just my take on it. The two McCains, I like them both. Bryce McCain, he can play slot cornerback, so that I like as well, because I think that we need someone who's pretty solid in that position. We were talking about rookies before, and we can agree to disagree on that. But again, Bobby McCain has great, great stats, 5'11", 196 pounds. That's what I want to see out of a cornerback. Young kid, got a pretty good 40. I think he's going to do well. I'm actually excited about our cornerbacks as a whole, just because I think that they're somewhat solid. It's just a matter of who's going to step up and take control of the number two spot. Zach Bowman's kind of that guy that, he's going to bring leadership, but I don't really know how much more he still has in the tank.
Well, I guess we'll see on that, but we both put him on the 53, so I guess we're really not arguing that we don't think he's not going to be on the 53.
No, we're just arguing about Will Davis.
Yeah, that's it, and it's weird. I can't believe after I wrote it down, I was like, I can't believe I'm doing this. But
I think we might have to do a side wager on that one.
No, because I don't want to bet against Will Davis. I'll be honest with you, I don't want to bet against Will Davis. I'm rooting for him. I hope he makes it. I do see a lot of the talent you're talking about, but I don't know. We'll see, man. I mean, maybe Bauman turns out to be not as effective as they were hoping, a little older. Perhaps he doesn't have the special teams maybe the special teams coach ends up not liking him, and they keep Davis and Lippitt, and they cut Bauman. I mean, that could happen, right? I mean, you think? Possible?
It could. It could.
Considering the whole youth movement, quote-unquote. But, I mean, it's kind of hard to think when you got Taylor, who's about a third-year guy and hasn't played a lot. You've got Bobby McCain, who's a rookie, then Lippitt's a rookie. Will Davis, a third-year guy, hasn't played a lot. I don't know. I think you might be right on the whole. The Bauman's there for the experience. I mean, they got a Bryce McCain, but he's really the slot, the nickel cornerback, and that's where we want him to stay. It's what he's played the most, and it's right. Where it's interesting when he first got signed. There's the spontaneous utterance, if you will. They haven't gotten a hold of him and said, Here's your talking points. We want you, when you're talking to media, to be saying these things and not saying these things. So before they get a hold of a player and they say that, he just says what he knows. And he said he is most comfortable at the nickel cornerback spot. That is what he plays. Until he got on the team for a while, went into some meetings, and all of a sudden he came out, oh, I can play anything. No. When you first got signed, day one or two, that is not what you said. So I'm going to go with what you said to begin with before they brainwashed you and told you to say these things. You're a nickel cornerback. That's where we want you. We don't want you on the outside, and that's not where you want to be. You know what I mean?
I don't believe he's playing out there anyway. He's going to play nickel, and hopefully he's happy with that, but, I mean, that's where I see him playing.
Yeah. All right, man. Okay, well, we're both keeping six there too, so.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, what's left is safety. I mean, special teams, long snapper, Brandon Fields, and a kicker. Let's just knock that out of the way, right?
Let's get that over with. Okay. Let's go ahead and get all three of them done. I mean, John Denny, he's not going anywhere. He's going to stay. Brandon Fields, he's not going anywhere. He's staying. I will say this, the kicker, I'm mad at Caleb Sturgis, and I don't know why we still have him, but Andrew Franks is I guess the one they brought in that they're going to try to challenge with him. You know, his completion percentage isn't great either. So
no.
I don't see how we've done anything that we can physically get rid of Caleb Sturgis. So by de facto, and this is begrudgingly by de facto, mm-hmm. Caleb Sturgis is our kicker come week one.
I wrote kicker. I didn't write Sturgis. I literally wrote kicker.
That's great.
I'm sticking to it. There'll be a kicker.
I'm good
there.
With that, man. I wish I would have followed suit.
All right, let's go to the safety.
It made me do way too much research on this Andrew Franks guy, only to find out he's not very good either.
No, he's not. They didn't really bring in suitable competition for Sturgis. And if he's one of the players on the team that needs some suitable competition, it's Sturgis, and they haven't made that happen. You know, if you look at the free agent market for kickers, there ain't much out there to choose from.
No.
Unfortunately. But, all right, man, safety. Go for it.
So, safety. These are pretty easy. Rashad Jones and Louis Delmas, I don't see how you could – I don't see any way that they're not going to start next year. I mean, I don't know if you feel any different, but I couldn't find an argument to go any other way.
Okay. All right.
So, we're agreement. That was an easy one.
Delmas and Jones?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, I didn't even – I wrote down four safeties like in 2 seconds. I was like, blah, 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 blah. Okay, safety's done. That was literally how I did that one.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the only issue was the whole suspension. And honestly, that, you know, things happen, man. I mean, the guy's not a jerk. I believe that, you know, that was just one of those things that happened. I mean, I don't believe we're going to have any issues. Backups, this was kind of a tricky one because I'm not as big on the backups. But I do believe that we need to have a backup for each safety position. So I went with Michael Thomas and Cedric Thompson.
Not Walt Akins?
Let me look. Oh. We'll discuss one at a time.
Oh, you're killing me, man. You're killing me here.
Okay, well, we'll get this done. Thomas, he's been a backup for a couple years. He's done, you know, he's filled in at safety and cornerback. Now, granted, I don't feel so much the need. He's going to have to do any type of cornerback filling in since I'm keeping six cornerbacks that I believe will all stay healthy this year, hopefully.
Knock on wood,
everything else I can knock on. But I believe because he has the ability to fill in for both, it makes him a commodity, and he contributed pretty heavily on special teams. So I believe, you know, because of all that, it makes him a solid pickup. Thompson's, again, one of those physical specimens, man. I think that he has the ability to be – again, maybe I'm just a rookie lover, man, but I think that when we purged, we needed to purge and trust our drafting. And this guy's solid, man, 6 foot, 212 pounds. I think he's great. And I even went – because I had a feeling you and I would argue over this. That's how far I know you. I went ahead and brought in his combine stats. Let me go ahead and show you that. He basically did. He ran a 4.48 in the 40, posted a 10-foot 2-inch broad jump, and he did 21 reps of the bench press at 225. Dude, that's pretty solid for a safety, man. And
yeah, that's good numbers.
Yeah, and I can't always say that I'm going to lean towards a rookie, but with the direction that our team's going, and because I like our starters so much. That's why I think I've been so generous to the rookies, because I believe our starters are pretty darn good this year. And I think, as a coach, I would take a little bit more of a gamble. I think we had a really good set of drafts the last couple of years, and I think we should develop our talent. And this year was no different. I think we had some pretty good rookies that were sitting on the field, and I think that they need to make the team and you have a chance to compete.
And here's where I'm going to challenge you on that, though. You're kicking out some of the guys we drafted last year that are just now going to see some development and some play time to keep the rookies in a couple mm-hmm. places. So
yes.
that's where I'm going to push back on you a little. And the places where we see that is Drew over Fidei and Thompson over Akins. And that's the reason why I don't see necessarily. It depends on how many numbers we keep of each position, of course. Man, I'm telling you, they're going to keep a lot of cornerbacks and safeties. They're going to keep a lot.
We had to make cuts. We all had to make cuts somewhere. And, you know, no head coach is sitting there going, man, I got my 53. The rest of these bums, this is going to be easy. It's never easy. I just think that at safety, that's kind of in my opinion. I thought we were the most secure with our starters, quite frankly. So I believe when that situation happens, you have the ability to gamble on a physical specimen. And I believe Thompson's that guy. I don't know. Maybe I'm not seeing it, but the combine stats aren't always going to be truthful. They're not going to give you everything, but they give you a lot. And I think that he's better than the other guys. And I know that, you know, there's going to be a little bit more of a learning curve, I guess, that comes with it over the next couple of years. But, you know, Rashad Jones, he's 27. He's still got plenty of life left. And Delmas is 28. So between the two of them, they still probably got 2 to 3 solid years in them. You bring in a rookie that's like an awesome specimen underneath them, give him the opportunity to shine and let them do what they're going to do. I believe he's going to be a pretty good safety.
Okay, so I'll say this, and there's a bunch of different ways you could look at this. If they like what Thompson does, they'll find a way in these numbers to keep 5 safeties and keep him, but they're not getting rid of Akins. I'm just telling you that right now. That's not happening. Akins is going to be on this 53. Here's something you got to consider. As much as you like Delmas, and when they're, and this is something I didn't really consider, but I'm looking at it, and while we're talking, I'm thinking about it now. When they're putting together, and we talked about all this young talent and the draft we've had the last couple of years, when they're putting together their 53, they will think some about next year, because you're talking about $150 million cap, and we have $155 million promise to 47 guys. So they will have to make decisions, and those decisions will likely come in the way of Grimes will probably not be on the team next year, and Delmas will probably not be on the team next year, to name a few. So in that case, maybe they find a way to keep Davis and Lippitt if they like them. Maybe they find a way to keep Akins and Thompson. You know what I mean? Considering what they will have to do next year. You know that Tannenbaum and Hickey will be thinking about that. It's impossible for us to prognosticate that far out, but they're going to be thinking about it.
Oh, no, I'm all about prognosticating that far out, actually. I honestly know, I agree with you that Brent Grimes won't be there, and that's the scariest part to me, is because I think he basically solidifies our secondary. So
for
without
sure,
that,
for sure.
I think next year we know our number one priority is cornerback. So all the more reason why I take a guy like, you know, Cedric Thompson. I you know, again, good physical guy, great stats, strong, quick. I'm going to give that guy a shot before I'm going to worry about somebody else that, I guess you and I can have different opinions on Akins if you want, but I don't see them as being two of the same people. And, you know, take the rookie, you're going to save a little bit of money on your cap there in a position that really, quite frankly, is not, safety doesn't make or break your team like a cornerback does. I mean, I guess if I'm saying that right, I don't want to minimize the position and then have people calling your show going, oh, that guy's an idiot. Yep. In all honesty,
they call my show. They tweet me and tell me I'm an idiot, but not you.
You know what I mean. I don't want them to think that I'm that ignorant to realize. But in all honesty, if I have to sacrifice to play a position and take a gamble on something, it's going to be at safety, because I think I can make up for that mistake a lot easier than I could at another position. That's just my take on that.
Okay, so to just lock it down, your four are Delmas, your four safeties, Delmas, Jones, Thomas, and Thompson. Mine are Delmas, Jones, Akins, and Thomas. But here's the thing. If they want to keep Thompson real bad and they're only keeping 4, I say they get rid of Thomas over Akins. And I'm going to just say it right now. If Michael Thomas had not come in off the San Fran practice squad 2 years ago when we signed him off there because we needed somebody bad to play cornerback, mind you, not even safety, and caught that last pick to solidify the game against the Patriots, I don't think Dolphins players would even know who the heck he is, because I ain't seen him do nothing else since. And that's just my opinion.
Don't disagree with that, but again, it kind of goes with the, you're going with the times, and ultimately his name is fresh out there. he's being looked at a little bit more carefully. So he might end up just – they're going to be looking at him in the training camp, and he doesn't perform. Hey, then I could see where that change happens. And, you know, maybe I'll go ahead and I'll give you the Akins-Thomas trade, but I don't think Thompson misses the cut.
All right, man. So now that we've wrapped that up, let's have a little fun here. Give me two positions where you feel the most confident you have locked it down. Like, these are going to be the guys I've got this on lock. And then I want you to give me two where you're questioning yourself the most.
Huh. Okay. Well, you're talking about lockdown where I know that my guys are on the field, or my guys are on the team?
Yeah, where you feel the guys you wrote down are going to be the guys when it's all said and done.
Oh, I'm running back for sure. I mean, wow, this is tough, man, because I honestly think I got three or four. But
now go ahead. You can give them all to me if you'd like there, Mr. Three or Four. But I'll ask for two.
How about that? I'm so confident in my skills. I'm going to give you all four of them.
All of them. I have all of them locked down.
Yeah, all of them are good. Just take them all. I'm so confident. I honestly believe, now this, again, is always barring injury. So I don't want anybody going, yeah, see, I told you. No, this is barring injury.
Yeah,
I believe my running back picks are solid. We're going in with four backs, and those are going to be the four backs. Wide receiver, I'm still confident in my wide receiver picks. I believe Tommy Streeter wraps up. The only wild card there that can mess me up is if Rishard Matthews does pull some craziness and he just decides to not play. And then, of course, that sucks for me. But
well,
you
then
know what?
Who are you bringing in? You've got six. I don't know if we talked about that. We've got six. Let's say Matthews says, I'm out of here, or they trade him or something, or they cut him, whatever. And then, so you would have Landry, Stills, Parker, Jennings, Streeter. Who's your sixth guy then if it's not Matthews, just so you can have a name?
Man.
I've got one that I know I would choose. But
no, and I do too. I would tell you I'm leery on that one. Laron Bird, haven't seen a whole bunch from him, but I like his physical stats. I like his, you know, 230, 6'4", big guy. I don't know if I could make that deal. I think if somehow he's off the team, maybe we find a way to run with four wide receivers, and it basically solidifies Arthur Lynch if he looks good. Now you got three tight ends.
But you had already locked down three tight ends, so I still got to make you lock down.
Yeah.
Another
okay. Well, if I lose that wide receiver, then I'm gonna go with Laron Bird.
Okay, Bird. Mine would be Matt Hazel.
He was probably my second choice.
Okay, I just wanted to lock that down. Okay, so you feel good.
But
about...
I don't think that's gonna happen. I'm gonna keep my six. That's why I'm guaranteeing him.
Okay. All right. So you feel good about running back, wide receiver. Those are your two. But you say that you have more. So please give us these more.
And I'm gonna lower my cockiness down. I would say that I probably have three that I will stand by, and I will tell you my defensive tackle. I believe there's gonna be five tackles on this team.
I can't argue with that because I've heard that a lot. That's not what I put, obviously, but I've heard that a lot. Okay, so what about – give me two that you're like, oh, man. I think I know what one of them is going to be for you, but I'm not sure about the other.
One's going to be linebacker.
I knew you were going to say that.
Linebackers is just – because I just don't – you know, the backups just aren't – again, maybe it's just my lack of understanding our linebackers and – I don't think I'm that ignorant on the position. I mean, it's my favorite position of football is linebacker. You know, it's all it has been. But I just think that could go either way. I mean, it really could. So I'm going to go with linebacker as being my first kind of up in the air. And then, honestly, even though I don't want to admit it, I honestly think my defensive end pick could be the same.
Whether they keep – because you have them keeping five, right?
Yeah, I have them keeping five, and the only reason why I say that is because, you know, five defensive ends and five defensive tackles, that's a lot of guys to play four positions.
Yeah,
so.
It is. So if they didn't keep Drew, are you saying they just go with four, or do you have another name you insert in?
No, I think if anything, and it's funny, dude, but I don't think that Drew's the one that doesn't make it. I think if Eddie's going to be the one that doesn't make it, but that's just my opinion.
I say no way on that. See, that's kind of like with me and the Akins thing. They're going to go – if it comes down to the guys they drafted last year and the guys they drafted this year, if it's even close, they're going with last year's over this year's, and they're going to try and get this year's on the practice squad. Didn't Fide on the practice? I might be wrong on that. Did he make the final 53 last year? I can't remember. Or did he kind of sit on the practice squad for a little bit? You know what? He might have made the 53. I honestly don't remember that.
52 because he played a lot of the special team stuff. I got a couple of notes here that I made.
Okay. So Fide was a special teams guy too? Yeah, no way they're getting rid of him. No way.
I want to flop that. I really feel confident we're running 5-5. I will go ahead and concede and say that I believe, if anything, my defensive line's solid, but my offensive line might not be.
Okay, so you like your running back, you like your wide receiver, you like your D-line. You're questioning your O-line, which I know I'm questioning mine. And what else? And linebacker.
And the linebackers, yeah.
Okay. Are you questioning that whether they keep only 8? Because I'm telling you right now, they're keeping 9, maybe 10. I'm going to say, even though I wrote 10, it'll end up 9 in the end. They're not going to go in with 8 O-line. No way. With Albert limping around and all these questions at guards, there's no way they're keeping 8.
He's not limping. He's fine. I'm telling you, the only reason why that changes is because I'm still holding out hope. And I believe Evan Mathis somehow finds a way to come to Miami. And now you got 9. Do I believe that there's going to – I'll tell you what, let me make that better for you. The 8 that I gave you are the only 8 that are on the team right now that make it. How about that?
Okay. All right. That's fair. You wrote down 8. You're rolling with 8. I'm rolling with 10, even though I think it's 9, but I still wrote down 10.
The only reason why is Evan Mathis is still out there, and there's not enough talk about it for me to even get a feeling that you know, we've talked to him enough and he's happy to want to come here. I know that there's interest from both sides, but you know, if I got to feel one, I that throws off everything if he comes to the team.
Okay.
You know?
All right. All right, I'll give you my 2 and my 2. The 2 I'm most confident in are running back, just like you.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have another one. tight end. Running back and tight end.
So you went with 3 tight ends too, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Just as much as I hear murmurs that, oh, 2 tight ends set this, 2 tight ends set that. Man, I have yet to see them do anything with 2 tight end sets hardly at all. Which means pretty much they're going to keep 3, not 4, and those are going to be the 3 guys.
All right. Well, that was a way to keep it nice and safe.
Yeah,
for you.
I tell you, inside the box thinking, man, that's what I'm about here. Okay, so what am I least confident on? O-line, that for sure. I'm the least confident on O-line, and I'm going to go linebacker. I'm going to go your same too. I'm going to go linebacker, and the biggest thing with linebacker for me is, I think they're going to keep a lot of linebackers. Like I've got 8, you've got 6. I'm sticking with they keep 8. It's just the question is when you bring in 4 undrafted free agents at linebacker, just bam, 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 bam like that. I mean, who knows how that's going to shake out? You don't know how they're going to play linebacker. You don't know how they're going to fit as far as are they better middle linebacker versus strong side, weak side, and then the special teams aspect, which I considered up and down this draft when I was doing this with special teams, special teams, special teams. I was just thinking about it the whole way through, because my personal opinion, that's what I think the Dolphins are going to do. And that's why I did that. That's why I tried to, because I want to be as close as I can, just like you want to be. We're trying to get this nailed as best we can. So those are my 2, man.
Well, when you don't have superstar names and you're bringing in all these people to challenge, that's why I don't think it's going to be as great. When you have big name guys, you know, and you could say the same thing about the defensive tackles too, but you know what? 4 of those guys are monsters, and I believe they're going to be awesome. You know, you can't have all defensive loaded on one side and not anywhere else. And that's why if I had to make the argument that I think that one's solidified, it's going to be the one that we had most trouble with, which was last year. And that's the D line. So I think my 10 across the board are pretty solid. It's the linebackers that are going to be a hodgepodge of whoever steps up in preseason, man. And you guys are the ones training camp in preseason. Those are the ones that we got that we're sticking with. You know, I believe that.
I have, and I don't know if you even actually broke this down, and I just based off all these notes here, I couldn't sit here and try and figure this out. I have written down 24 offensive players and 26 defensive players. Did you split it 25 and 25, or do you even know? Did you even figure that out?
Well, I can count them for you.
Yeah, I can. Maybe I can just edit it out as you count, so people aren't sitting there waiting for you to count.
I have 23 on the offense.
Okay, and 27 on the defense. Obviously,
no, that'd be 29 on the defense.
Well, you got special teams. You got three special teams.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right, that's right.
So we got 50 guys.
I'm trying to forget that we even need that.
Yeah. Yes, you got to have that.
Yeah. So there you go.
So you got 24 and 20. I'm sorry. You got 23 and 27.
Well, we got John Denny as a long snapper too.
Yeah. Well, that's the three special teams: the kicker, right, the punter, the long snapper.
You're right.
Yeah. So that's the three guys. Okay. All right. I was just curious. I got 24 and 26. I kept a lot of linebackers and cornerbacks for. I know you're getting tired of me hearing me say it, for special teams. I probably never said the word special teams so much on this show, and I hope I never have to again.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't want to have to say it when we're doing the shows during the season. I don't want to be sitting here talking about we lost the game because we didn't cover on special teams.
Right.
That's we don't want. We want our offense and our defense win and lose games. I don't want to
lose
games.
When are we going to get a kickoff or a punt return for a touchdown?
I don't know. Jarvis, he's a good punt returner. I mean, he was AFC offensive or special teams player of the of the month once last year. But he doesn't have the breakaway speed to get it all the way. He's just good at getting you big chunk yards.
I'm just saying I can't remember the last time we had a punt or a kick return for a touchdown.
I feel like we've been saying that for 15 years, too. Doesn't it feel like it's just barely happened over the past 15 years? I think, Ted Ginn might have given us a few. That's another bad
name. Yeah, he might have been the last one. I mean, Wes Welker was starting to look pretty good, and then, of course, you know how that turned out.
Who's that guy? I'm sorry? I'm just kidding. hey, we should go get him. He's a free agent. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
He wanted to stay in Miami. It wasn't his fault.
Yeah, but let's face it. For him, considering what the Dolphins had go at quarterback, it probably worked out a little better for him that he went to the Patriots. I don't think he was catching 120 passes a game for five straight years in Miami. Am I right?
Wait, say that again?
I don't think he was catching 100-plus, 120 passes a year. I think I said a game. A year. No, that wasn't happening. So.
But I still think he would have made great additions returning the ball.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Being a slot receiver, I think he still would have been good. He just wouldn't have been great.
Well, why do you think that?
He could have been. Who knows?
Why do you think that Belichick wanted him so bad? Because he smoked the Patriots. He smoked Belichick, and they were like, "I want that guy. I'm going to go trade for him." He was probably sitting there thinking, "I don't think the Dolphins realize what they have. They're rebuilding. I'm going to go see if I can snake this guy away from them." So they grabbed it from us for a second and a seventh round pick. Not even worth it. I mean, not worth it for us. We should have just kept him. All right, is there anything burning Dolphins-wise beyond the 53-man roster that you want to talk about before we wrap the show up?
No, I think I'm excited, man. I can't wait for camps to get here so we can really start to get a good look at these guys, man. I looked at my schedule, man. I'd love to get down there. We are so slammed for the next month, man. But this is like the one year I really wanted to go down and take a look.
We've got to figure out at least one day. And I was going to go to the Carolina practices, but then I looked at my schedule and realized if I do that, that pretty much takes me away from going to extra practices that I'd like to go to that are actually in Miami. So I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to go to a few more practices that are actually in Miami. But I don't know exactly which ones yet, but I'm thinking August 1st and maybe 2nd, August 7th for the scrimmage at FIU. And then I don't remember what the date was. I think it's that last Sunday, maybe the 13th or something. That one's a 3 p.m. one. I know we had talked about maybe going to the August 2nd, which was Sunday, but then I said it was 8 a.m. and you were like, eh. That's always that too early for you, boss?
Yeah, that's a little too early.
Come on, man.
I like to sleep in.
Are you serious? Really? Yeah. Come on, you're killing me.
I gotta get my sleep, man.
I understand. You gotta get your beauty sleep. You need it. You really need it.
Well, I'll tell you what. One thing we can discuss one of these weekends. We can get into the renovations. That'll be maybe we do that after we get down there. And I want to kind of see what that's all about.
We'll talk about it when I actually see it with my own eyes. All right, man. Well, I'm going to, if there's nothing else, I'm going to wrap it up here. give a few shout outs and sign off.
Yeah, that's cool. Hey, well, we were talking about something before the show you told me to bring up during the podcast here, and I can't remember what it was. It's driving me nuts.
No, I don't remember either. I should have written it down. It was something kind of off the wall but humorous, and now I don't remember what it was. I'm sure we'll remember.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
This is an oldie but a goodie, but I ran across an old YouTube video that I just think it's going to blow everybody away if you haven't seen it. YouTube, when you go on search Budweiser
swear jar. I wrote it down right here. I thought I hadn't.
Yeah. I promise you, if you haven't seen this, get ready to pee yourself because it's hilarious.
Okay.
So yeah, that's my little fun tip for all y'all out there if you haven't seen it before.
Nothing to do with football, but it's still something.
No, but you know what? They should have ran that commercial during the Super Bowl. I mean, come on.
All right, man. I'm gonna start to wrap it up here. All right, brother. I wanted to give a shout out to the Miami Dolphins like page, Finstones, and Daniel. Thank you very much, Daniel, for throwing my like page on your like page. It's increased my likes, which in turn has likely increased my listeners. So I really do appreciate that. Wanted to state again, like we stated at the beginning, my Twitter handle is @unsquishthefish. And I would like everybody and anybody over the next week, but you got to do it before camp starts. Because once camp starts, it's kind of cheating a little. If you ask me, go ahead and write down your 53-man roster, take a picture of it, and tweet it to me. And I'll start to try and write down who's done it. Like, here's this person's 53 and what date we did it, so I can go back. Or I'll just save the pics. I'll save the picks and I'll start a little file and we'll see who else, if anybody can do better than we did. And trust me, I'm not saying you're not going to do better than we did. I'm just saying let's see if you do better than we did.
I'll throw the challenge out there.
All right. Sean says you can't beat him. I say I've already beat Sean. So if you beat me, you beat Sean. That's just my opinion. Sorry, I had to say that. All right. So obviously, again, the Twitter is @unsquishthefish. Facebook, Unsquish the Fish. Email, unsquishthefish@gmail.com. If you're an iTunes listener, please go in, rate and review, leave a little comment if you could. That would help me out quite a bit. I appreciate everybody listening. I know it was a little bit different show than we normally do because we do more topical conversational stuff, but we're running out of stuff to talk about. It's the off season here, so why not do a little early 53? All right, everybody, thanks for listening. Have a great day.